Blog Talk Radio.
You've tuned into the spoken word, and you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And there comes a time in all of our spiritual lives that we need to consecrate in order to elevate, in order to motivate and inspire change in our lives and changes in the lives of others. And just listen to the words of this song that talks about going to that garden alone, about how we fellowship with God to gain strength, to gain victory, to gain insight, and just to get a closer perspective of our relationship with Him. Just listen to the words of this song. In the garden alone. There is no joy that you can experience in your natural nor your spiritual life that can even begin to measure to the very presence of God in your being. And you know that it's in Him we live. It's in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. And when that joy gets full, oh, you can't help but hear the very joy bells of the Lord just ringing in your soul. And, you know, you get the joy because you know that God is looking after you, and He's keeping you. He's keeping you alive. He's keeping you abreast. He's giving you the victory in His blessed name. And the power of the joy bells begin ringing in your soul. The late and great Bishop David L. Ellis singing joy bells just ringing in your soul.
My soul, I hear the Lord. Let me hear the same. Oh, hell. Oh, hell. Oh, thank you. can't take no more.
Oh, my God. For we know that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. As if we're going in the garden alone while the dew is on the roses, and that voice that we hear playing on our ear, we know that it is the Son of Man, the Son of God, that discloses, confirming that he walks with us, that he talks with us. He tells us that we are his own. And the joy we experience, that exuberance that we experience, none can ever compare or even describe. And then, oh, Bishop Ellis came along and said that when that happens, we get an overflow of overflux of the joy bells echoing over and over again within our spirit being. It's time to come alive. It's time to come alive for God today. And when you come alive for God, God will show himself alive for you. What you've been praying for, what you've been believing God for, God will make manifest. Well, he said, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. And you know what's going to happen? The light of God will shine upon your path and my path. And the spoken word, we don't compromise. We fellowship, and we speak the words of truth, encouragement, and we allow the miracles of God to come forth and manifest itself. And so many in this land, in this day and time, are awaiting the intervention of God's presence in their lives. Because you've been praying a long time, you've been waiting a long time, you've been anticipating a long time. But here and now is the season of Shekinah glory. And look up and look out, because when Shekinah glory becomes manifest, you will see, you will experience the very height, the depth, and the breadth of the Almighty God. And remember when he told Moses, when Moses was getting a little discouraged and he just wanted to just give it up, the people were complaining. He was experiencing the confrontation of the Egyptians, the stubbornness of the Pharaoh, who would not release God's people. And Moses, being a natural man, even though he was being led of the Spirit of God, he just got so discouraged. I guess he was saying within himself, as many of us, we say within ourselves, when we say, Lord, enough is enough. I can't take it anymore. He said, stand still. What does that mean? Stay where you are. Don't move, don't go back, and know, let me acknowledge that I am God, means he is control. Then he told Moses to stand still and see. When you see, you experience firsthand, not something anyone told you or that someone gave testimony to. Stand still and see. That means wait and experience the salvation of the Lord. And oh, what a mighty God we serve. Didn't he do it, everybody? Didn't he do it? Didn't he cause the Egyptians, the very opposition of the forces of society, to crumble before the children of Israel? Didn't God give the children of Israel the victory over their oppressors? Yes. Moses saw God's hand work on their behalf over and over again. And then when God said, it's time to get out of here, he told Moses to take that rod and smote it in the Red Sea. And Moses didn't understand. Sometimes we got to get out of our mindset. We're always trying to figure things out and work them out when God has already given us the victory and established the footsteps in which we must travel. And when he did, that Red Sea parted, and the children of Israel, which means God is real, walked in the middle of the sea. How miraculous is that? They walked in the middle of the sea and got to the other side. When their oppressors saw what they had done, they were going to mimic and gimmick. And they came behind them, and what happened? God allowed the Red Sea to swallow up the entire army. So when we let go and we let God, we trust God, he will give us the victory. Because God's word cannot be changed. He said, before one jot or one dot be changed, heaven and earth will evaporate. It will pass away and exist no more. And to this day, and to this record, the heaven and the earth yet exist. We know there are three heavens. You know, the atmosphere, the ionosphere, the stratosphere, and the cosmos. We know that. But we live on the terrestrial plane called earth. And to this day in record, the earth is yet intact. So that means that God has not changed concerning his promises, neither is he slack to fulfill those promises to us. And he said that his word will not return unto him void, but accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. So we're trusting God today on this glorious and victorious Sunday, day of fellowship. Many of us regard Sunday as the Sabbath day. Some regard Saturday as the Sabbath day. It does not matter. Let's get away from the controversy. As long as you are taking one day aside to do no labor and to worship and acknowledge God in spirit and truth and to fellowship through the Holy Spirit, you are recognizing, you are respecting the institution of God. So mankind gets so hung up on these various beliefs systems. Let me tell you something. King David said this, even before he was king, he said, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. He meant that forever as you speak, you have established. No man can create controversy with that. He has to acknowledge that and be able to respect the institution that you have organized. And let me tell you something. When you respect God and his word, God will cause even your enemies to respect you. That's right. He will make them to be your footstool. He will tell you to hold your peace until I make them your footstool. And let me tell you something. There's so much going on in the world today, and it's my prayer as a leader, as an instructor of scripture, as an educator, as a just a concerned citizen of this great country, United States of America. It's just that the congregations will come together and acknowledge that there is only but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's not separate baptisms. There's not separate faiths. Only faith we have is in God through Jesus Christ. This is our faith. This is our confidence. And if the congregations, the organizations, would lay aside those weights and the sins, those infractions, get rid of those isms and those scissions, and come together in a unit of one. Because why? One puts 1,000 to flight, but two puts 10,000 to flight. We would see a great revival in this land. You're talking about miracles. Oh, my God. Wouldn't we see the miracles of Jesus Christ take manifesto right here and right now in this present day, in the present age? We would see it. We would see the breakthroughs that would be insurmountable, that no one could even begin to ascribe, more or less describe, in the characteristics in which they manifest. They wouldn't be able to. But the problem is, and here it is, it's just a simplistic issue. We are giving referendum and respect to the institution of man, and we are not regarding the institutions of God. His institutions are his statutes, his word, his law, spiritual law, natural law, regarding the Holy Spirit, acknowledging him as creator of all things, both great and small, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, walking in the obedience of Jesus Christ, and which God has commanded us to take care of the widows and the fatherless and to those who can't help themselves, so that we don't blaspheme the word of God. so that we would look after the children who need support, that we would guide them with words of wisdom and encouragement, that we would walk in the ways of righteousness and holiness with all humility, as much as God puts in our hands, is as much as we give to those who are in need, but we've taken our eyes off the truth, and we've dilly-dallied until he tallied in the wilderness. We stopped and wanted to act like the world, dress like the world, walk like the world, talk like the world, conduct our affairs like the world, and this is where the breakdown is. America, from the top office in the land, you've heard me say this before, and I will repeat it again until it echoes throughout the universe and that the change takes place. America is the leadership nation of this world. We set the standards of the example, yes, indeed. We set the platform for change. From the top governmental office in Washington, D.C., all the way to the local communities and the leadership therein, whether it's municipalities, whether it's neighborhoods or educational establishments, needs to fall on its knees. Many of you might be saying, I can't get on my knees, I'm of age now. That's okay. Getting on your knees doesn't so much mean physically you're doing it, it means spiritually you're doing it. It means humbling yourself and going before God and repenting for the blasphemies that we've committed in his name. We say that we're Christians. We're not walking the walk as we talk the talk. We're not living the example. We're not showing the love of Jesus Christ. We're not correcting things that need to be corrected. We're going along. We're tolerating it. Tolerating is a form of cowardice. That means we're bowing down to the beast mode that's governing society. And look at the garbage. Look at the epitome of wickedness that's going on. It's because this is chastisement. God is speaking, but people are not listening. God is guiding, but people are not following. God is attempting to shake up, and people are securing themselves under false pretenses. It's time, America, to set the standard for the world to follow, that we can halt the attack of the enemy. Because, again, one puts 1,000 to flight, and two puts 10,000 to flight. That means we need to repent. We need to go back to God and ask him to allow the Holy Spirit to come into us and to lead us and guide us into all matter of truth. And the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. You think the Holy Spirit is confined to the spiritual aspects of your life? Let me tell you something. Let me give you a thoroughbred education. The Holy Spirit guides us in all aspects of our life. That means the natural to the spiritual. That's right. So the Holy Spirit is reflective, is versatile. And the characteristic is speaking the truth to us through the power of God's presence and anointing. And this is what we need to do. We need to go back to God. Go back, repent, get up and get it right. Because you know something? Whatever goes on here in America predicates what happens in the world. I know some of you have been talking about, oh, the war in Ukraine, the Russians. Yes, let me tell you something. There was a prophecy, whether you believe it or not, you don't have to, but just because you don't believe something does not make it untrue. There was a prophecy that actually went forward from a young woman called Fatima. And Fatima says that in a vision that she received from the voice of Mary, the mother of Jesus. We can't contemplate and say she didn't, because some of the things that she spake have came to pass. She said that she told her that if Russia, formerly called the Soviet Union, USSR, United Socialist Republic, whatever you want to refer to, Russia does not repent of its backslidings, of its disobedience, it will wreak havoc throughout the world. That means the behavior that's constituted and instituted there will spread worldwide. unstopped, unencased, unhalted. And lo and behold, what gifts did Russia share as a result of not repenting? A communist, socialist regime, aggressiveness, cruelty to its own people, has constantly become a rhetorical event. Therefore, we must go back to God. We have to go back to God on behalf of Russia, asking that Father God will have mercy upon those people in Russia, because some of them are true Christian believers, and they desire to do the will of God. And therefore, we've got to stand in their seat. Don't you know sometimes your prayers are to stand in the seat for someone else? All of your prayers are not meant to be for you, your life, your family, your workplace, your community. Sometimes God wants us to stand in the seat and advocate for others. And this is what needs to be done. And God's hand is a strong arm that can bring forth change, even if it remains removing a person that's in power. So I'm challenging you today, if you're on the spoken word, say a prayer for Russia. Say a prayer for this country. Say a prayer for peace worldwide. Just found out that the former Prime Minister of Japan, Abe, was assassinated. He's out of office, but some individual out of cruelty and insanity decided to just murder him. These are the things that are going on in the world, and when you turn away from it and say, well, it don't involve me, it involves you, because we see that the prince and the power of the air is gaining more momentum day by day because we're so divided. We're so confrontational. We're so anti-supportive. He's gaining momentum. He has no power, but he assumes power to those who give him power. He can't rush in and take anything. You have to give him the placement to do it. That's right. So we're going to take back our land here in America. Heard about the young man getting shot over 60 times. Oh, my goodness. Over last week, that's a horrible thing. A horrible thing this young man had to suffer in Akron, Ohio. But his name was Jalen. And just say a prayer for his family, because we don't know the repercussions behind what happened. But then it's inexcusable. It is inhuman. It is unorthodox. It's uncalled for any enforcement officer of the law or any branch of protective government to slaughter another human being. And it was stated that the young man was unarmed. We got a lot of praying to do because the enemy has got a strong foothold and he's gaining momentum. And the kingdom of God, Jesus said, thy kingdom come. So that means we need to see some evidences of the kingdom of God right here with us upon the planet Earth within the lives of believers. We need to stop being so cosmopolitan and cosmetic and come back to the old landmark and produce those results. If you look at the teachings of the apostles who were previously disciples and they were elevated to apostleship, we see the miracles that were wrought through them. What miracles has God wrought through us? Question, huh? People say, well, we don't mean, yes, we do. Miracles are a sign that God is at work in your life and that he is existed on this interplanetary domain. So, yes, we do. We do. See, we've got to separate the lies from the truth and come back to reality. That God needs us to be at the right place, the right time, under the right circumstances. And when we obey him and take care of God's business, God takes care of our business. Amen? Well, amen and amen again indeed. We're going to go to the word of God because we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. We know that. Very briefly, let's go to Psalms, the 19th division. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. What is the scripture saying to us? God, open up the windows of our understanding. Feed us with your word, for Lord, we realize we cannot live thy natural bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from your mouth, from your testimony. Because, Lord, we know that in the testimonies that we are living epistles being read of men daily, let our reports say that we are healed, that we are blessed, that we are prosperous, that we are abounding in every good work, and that God has so given us the victory to overcome the world, as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, to overcome the world, even our faith. And Father God, we thank you for every ear, every heart, every mind that's turned toward the spoken word, Lord. Let them go from this broadcast well-fed, encouraged, inspired, motivated to go forth and to do the works of Jesus Christ and to reap the benefits of a present and eternal reward. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we thank you and amen. The heavens declare the glory of God. Say with me, Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That means we can look up in the sky. That's the firmament, the very presence of those heavenly bodies. It speaks by volumes. It speaks God. It speaks God as creator, as God as a presence, a sovereign presence. There is none above God. The heavens declare it. There's three heavens. There's the atmospheric heaven. That's light. There's the stratospheric heaven. And there is the celestial heaven. And all three belong to God. Because why? He spoke it into existence. The second verse. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. That means, God, right when we perceive that we know so much about you, here is something even greater that comes into flourishing that we didn't even know about you. How great thou art. How great thou art. I love that song. There's something about that song that's so anointed that it really brings into a picturesque formulation about the greatness of God. We see the moon and the stars. And the sky, God power throughout, the universe is displayed. That means even when they talk about the asteroids and the comets, how great thou art. How great thou art. In other words, a more modern day verbatim, how great you are. Look at how great you are. And he is. And he loves when his children acknowledge how great he is. And you know what God does when we acknowledge how great he is? He shows us how great he can make us because we were made in his image. We are his sheep and his children. Third verse. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That means, God, you know everything. There is no dialect that you cannot interpret. But, Lord, you caused these various languages to take formulation. I know you all remember about the incident of the Tower of Babel when they tried to build a tower to ascend into the third heaven, and God saying, nay, it's not so. And as a result, he caused that tower to fall down, and all the languages became scattered. So, therefore, we know that God is a God that can do anything inside and outside of the level of expectation. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And them have he set a tabernacle for the sun. That means that everything that we see built on the planetary domain, God gave man the intrinsic knowledge and the extrinsic talent to be able to erect these establishments. That's right. It all came from God. That's right. Every good and perfect thing cometh from the Lord. We need to go back to the Genesis perspective and understand this. It cometh from the Lord. And it says that he has set them as a tabernacle for the sun. That means his presence radiates. Have you ever looked in the sky at the sun and it is the most effervescent time of the day? Sometimes in between 5:30, 6 o'clock, 6:30, and that sun just seems to radiate to a level that you can't even contain it with the human eye. It's literally a blinding light. That is, imagine that light being multiplied 1,000 times. That's how immense and extensive the glory of God is. No man has ever looked upon God and lived. So when people come talking about, I saw God in my dream, you saw a replica, a representation of God, but you could never look upon God and live. His presence is too glorious. Even Moses saw his back, and it was a blinding light to him. So know the facts and get the information straight. God's presence is too awesome for mankind to behold. Which is as a bridegroom coming to his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. He's talking about how awesome the power of God is. Remember when God promised to give us that same treasure in our earthen vessel. Remember the scripture that says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, this is the representation of God's power being dispersed upon mankind in divine favor. And the same God he was then is the same God he is now. He says, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. He goeth forth in from the heavens, and his perfect unto the end of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. That means that people talk about, oh, global warming. God is the one that cools and heats. He is large and in charge. I don't care what science says. Science has fail-proof hypotheses, and hypotheses are deemed as what we call educated guesses. They're taking guess measurements. God has laid out universal specifications. What's greater, universal specifications or questionable hypotheses? God's word is standard. We need to give the respect to whom the respect is due, and recognition to whom recognition is due. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What is David saying? You know what he's saying? The very elements of God's expectations and his characterizations for mankind to align himself to are right. They're upright. They're good. They're profitable to you in your life and profitable to others. Helping to convert, when you convert, there's an exchange. Like you can convert a dollar to coins. That means you're going to take the same monetary denomination, but you're going to break it down into smaller disbursements, but it's going to equal out the same thing. So he's saying that it converts the soul. I mean, exchanges the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. That means that God has taken the simple things to confound the wise. God will give you such divine revelation when you obey him and you walk after him and you hunger and thirst after him, for you will be fed. God will teach you things that the most astute theological seminaries can never teach you. A lot of we see of theological seminaries, to each his own, who decides to attend those types of educational entities, but oftentimes they cause individuals to get out of the anointing of God. Because, see, we have to understand something. The instructional word, the logos, is excellent because we need to be taught. But there comes a time when the logos needs the quickening effect, which is the rhema word, that living word, that word that causes you to move, that causes the very paradigms of the frequencies to change over. Sometimes it comes a time where we need that rhema, because we need that latter rain. That first rain was good, but that latter rain is what causes the sprawl to happen. And sometimes we need that Shekinah glory, that hazy glory, that God's presence is so strong, it manifests as a haze. Sometimes we need that in our lives, in our spirits, in our being, to quicken us, because sometimes we get broke down. We get tired. That's right. Look at Elijah. He got so tired. He got to the point he said he just couldn't do it no more. God sent that Shekinah glory and quickened him. And sometimes we just need a quick touch to get us up and moving again, to get the chain of victory going on and linking into our lives. The fear, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing at the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That means, you know something? The word of God will give you guidance. It will show you what to do, how to do it, and the way to do it without wavering, without quivering. But sometimes the way in which God will tell us to go, we don't understand. But see, we must understand something this way. As high as the heavens are from the earth, is God's ways from our ways, his thoughts from our thoughts. So therefore, we have to be humble and to receive what he tells us. And we don't understand it, we still do it. That's right. You remember back in the days, back in the Stone Age and the Iron Age, when we were little children, we might have seen our parents do things, and we said, well, they did this, and they did that, and why are they telling me not to do something? And what would your mother respond and say? You don't question me. You do as I say do, not as I do. Some people say that's hypocritical, but no. Their power or their position gave them the authenticity. Say it with me, authenticity, to make that statement and to make that statement right. Because why? You're abiding in their house. They're the master of that house. So you are subjugated or subjugated to do as they said do. So therefore, you had a total obligation to adhere to the rules and the regulations of that place. And the same thing is with God. We're talking about we're his children, and we're the sheep of his pasture. We're his beloved children. Beloved children follow ordinances. They follow rules. Even if they don't like it, they do it because they know there's going to be a profitable share at the end of that action. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That means you'll come out on top. You may not see it now, but you will come out on top if you're obedient and continue to adhere to what is right. More desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That means that the word of God, the revelational knowledge of his presence, his capacity, his ability will be so sweet in your life, you'll live many happy years without the frictions, without the frustrations, the aggravations of society. Why? Not because it doesn't exist, but because God put this protective barrier around you, because you are his and you bear his mark, and he protects those who bear his mark, who uphold his name, who stand up to the enemy and say, go back to where whence you came. You have no place here. God gives special preferential treatment to those who walk in his statutes, that walk in his obedience. As the psalmist says, and they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth their fruit in its season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper. I want to prosper in all the good areas of my life. Amen. When you talk about prosperity, first thing people think about is just finances. Yes, that's for finances. But money answers all things. That's like money breaks the back of poverty. Money breaks the very elementation of frustration in a person's life when they desire to purchase things and can't. Money does a whole lot. But where the money leaves off, the grace of God takes over. And we need both. That's right. And see, the power of God is what brings the wealth and the money into your life. It turns the will of prosperity. That's right. And we want to have a harmonious balance. That's right, because we got work to do. And we got work to do. We can't be pinching, begging, and borrowing. We got to be able to lend and to give to the necessity of those who don't know who God is, who Jesus is. We got to be able to fill these hungry bellies. We got to be able to purchase goods where they can put on their backs. We got to be able to help them pay their house payment or their rent payments so they can have a private habitation to reside. We got to be able to help them pay for their transportation. So money does a lot. And money in the hand of us, God's children, is a weapon against the enemy. And you know something? We win in this war. We're winning because we're speaking wealth. Amen. In the name of Jesus, at this very hour, the financial lucrativity is going to manifest itself in every aspect of our lives and of our being. And the wealth of monetary assets is just the beginning. It'll continue on to affluently flow into every area aspect. Divine favor, preference, God's hand steers that helm. All right. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. That means by keeping the word of God in your heart, it is going to be a beneficial thing for you in time present and in time to come, in the future. That's right. Because you will see the manifestation of the promises of God literally materialize in your life, in your presence, and even into the presences around you. People will be impacted because people will see the difference in you and will want what you have because they desire the best out of life. God wants us to have the best out of life. You know, and so wonderful, John said, he said, beloved, and you know, John was certainly a obedient apostle. He said, beloved, I would in all things that ye prosper and be in health, even as your soul does prosper. So there's a harmonious balance. First, natural, because people are attracted to natural things, what they can see. How do you look this well? How do you feel this well? How do you have so much? Because of God, because of Jesus Christ. Because he said he came to give me life more abundantly. The abundant life he gives me, he will give to you too. The divine favor he gives me, he will give to you too. What greater testimony than just not even have to say a word, but people just be drawn to you, just brought to you by the way you present yourself, your aura, your charisma. This is what God wants us to do, to be like magnets to attract men unto him. He said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. What is he saying? He said, Lord, if I have anything growing in me, sometimes we need to do a close inspection of ourselves. It's easy to inspect other people and see their faults and their shortcomings. But when it comes to us, we're apprehensive because we don't want to face the truth. And the truth may make us look bad and even feel bad. But we need to just ask God to reveal to us, is there anything within me? That's why we consecrate. Consecration is not to make you a spiritual giant where people look up to you and say, oh my goodness, did you hear what she did and what he didn't know? Consecration means that you're into yourself, by yourself, and with yourself, so that God can speak to you as you're speaking to him, and you can begin to take root or take notes of what God is saying, and be able to identify some problematic things within your spiritual being. But sometimes things can be taken manifesto or root, and we don't even know it until we get away from all of the harboring of madness called the world, society. And then we begin to see these things. And if we're not careful, if we don't prune out those bad roots, next thing you know, that whole tree starts molting. It starts going down. The roots start dying off. The greenness of the branches begin to turn yellow, and the leaves begin to fall to the ground. And when that tree loses its leaves, come on now, it's good for nothing but firewood. So we want to stop ourselves before we get in that way. And this is what consecration does. It helps us to uproot and undo things that are not profitable to us in the natural as well as the spiritual realm. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. What is presumptuous sins? Things that you really didn't mean to do, but because the tone and the environment was right, you went head on and did it. Presumption is just not good because it can lead to more devastating and disastrous behaviors. He said, let them not have dominion over me. That means, God, give me the ability to manipulate those things that are not profitable to me. so I can move them out the way before they cause destruction in my life and hurt others. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from thy great transgression. I mean, therefore, I won't even have to repent for something that I could have prevented from happening in the first place. And the scripture even tells us to abstain from the very appearance of evil. That's right. I mean, don't put yourself in a predicament where something looks like something it really isn't, because presumptuousness says it could have been, because look at the environment and the parameter of the involvement within that environment. So we have to abstain from the very appearance of evil. As a young, unmarried woman, it's not probable for me to have a male counterpart in my place of residency, and it's after midnight, because why? We may be just sitting up here discussing something of relevance within the business world, within the scriptures, but according to what the appearance looks like, something may be going on behind closed doors, and you don't want your testimony damaged. So what we do is everything be done decently and in order. Right location in a public place, with people around, a certain space and perimeter kept between us, and our conversation is of a decent and morally upright nature. That's how we abstain from the possibility of sin presumption. Let the words of my mouth, I want you to circle this, verse 14, Psalms 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What is he saying? Let what I say reflect the sincerity of what's in my heart. And what I think upon, let it be of good virtue. Let it be of good conversation. Let it be upright. Let it exalt you. Let it help to improve me as a person, to make me more effective, to make me more concentrated in the areas that I should be focused upon. And the very elements of my heart. For you know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let it reflect that which is of virtue, that which is of the kingdom of heaven, of grace, of mercy, of loving kindness, of health, wealth, prosperity, and forgiveness, and love, and faith, and all of the things that will make you proud, that I bear your character, and I bear your characteristics. And I've read for you, for your soul's inspiration, and for your today's motivation, Psalms the 19th division, and we've gone through all of the verses 1 through 14. And let me tell you something. Go about your way and rejoice, and thank God for all that he has given you. And when you look unto the Lord and you thank God for what you have, he will continue to add on to you daily. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask you to think. Have a glorious and victorious day and a miracle-filled, prosperous week. And we'll see you again next week on The Spoken Word. This is Abby Self saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your week.